Welcome one and all once again to Dual World in episode 119. Apparently we've all taken a mini summer vacation this past couple of weeks, but we're back. Joining us this week we have Chad.
What's cracking?
And we have Martin.
Hello!
Did you miss me, everybody?
Well, I was about to say, everybody's been gone, like, so it's been a... We haven't done one since, I think, mid-July, so there's that. So yeah, that's a roundabout way of, saying, I don't know.
Well, it's not like people it's have been... missed out so much. It's not like there are big games coming out or actual news happening.
Well, I mean, there's been games coming out, and we'll get to some of them in a bit. But yeah, summer's usually just a really dry period, and it's also the time when everybody's off from school, so everybody travels, everybody has vacations, everybody goes away for the weekend. And then we're gearing up for school, so I assume the next couple of weeks will also be kind of awkward as well, so we'll see how that works. Which also means we completely skipped over our backyard podcast, and I actually got to play some games for that, but if we ever do that, I'll keep that in mind. But yes, since Chad hasn't really been playing anything and Martin has anything, I'll kick it off and then I'll come back at the end.
I have one game.
Yeah, I know, that's why I said you'll get the middle instead of me talking constantly about the games I've been playing. The first one I wanted to talk about is I played Attack of the Friday Monsters, which
what?
Is...
Oh, the 3DS thing?
Yeah.
Ah, right. No, I remember.
It's part of the Guild 02 series. Mm. I really wish I remember the directors and stuff names. I know it's level 5. I don't remember who's in charge of it. And it's one of those... I hate the term, but it's one of those experience games where it's not much of a game necessarily, but it's, you know, it's an experience, and I enjoy.
You're not exactly selling me on it right now.
I want to make that clear, because as a game, there isn't much to this game. It has one gameplay mechanic, which is really kind of far divided from the narrative, in that the one gameplay mechanic is a rock, paper, scissors-esque card game that you play with other kids. And in order to do that, it's basically a collectathon where, like, you collect five, I think it's like 6 pieces, and every time you collect 6 of them, you unlock a card, and then you use those cards in battles, and then you can get multiple ones of the cards, and then you can combine them into more powerful cards and stuff like that. And narratively, I think it only really happens like 2 or 3 times where you actually have to use it in the course of the game as part of continuing the quest. Other than that, it's basically a story about being a kid and just kind of the imagination that comes with being a kid. Because as the name hints at this, like, there is monsters that come out every Friday that wrecks the Shiro Japanese town. And, you know, the game's pretty overt about it. It's the kid's imagination. It's not actual monsters, but it's just TV studio in the neighborhood that films like this monster show, and the kids think they're real because they're kind of filmed off in the distance. But as you continue the story and you kind of continue the game, you kind of realize, like, maybe that's not true. Maybe there are actual monsters and stuff like that. And it kind of pairs with that idea of, like, you know, you don't necessarily need to believe everything you see, but just because you might have an idea of what something is doesn't necessarily mean that it actually is what it is. And it's kind of the dichotomy between being a kid and being an adult, and having that knowledge and seeing how that kind of colors your worldview. So I enjoy it from that perspective as to what it's doing. But like I said, I don't know if I can necessarily recommend it as a game for $8 that lasts like 3 hours.
It almost sounds like my experience with the previous Guild 02 game that I played. What was it called? The one on the spaceship. Spaceship Demeray.
Yeah.
Which also didn't have much gameplay to it, and mostly probably was like of the experience of the ship, and it was also too expensive for what it is.
Yeah, like, if it was maybe $5, it'd be an easier sell. Like, I didn't have any problem paying for it.
You just said exactly the same thing I said back then about Spaceship Demeray.
Yeah. And I was kind of apprehensive, because I know they do tend to have deals on these games as they come up.
Yeah.
But I wanted to check this out because the premise sounded interesting, and I did enjoy my time with it. But I'm not going to sit here and say, like, you should go check this out for $8 when it's going to last you 3 hours. And it's not really a game, and it's one of those things that you have to have the mentality going into. Like, this is kind of, I just kind of want this experience, this kind of relaxing, and charm into the world. But I'm not going to get much of a game in here.
Yeah. What about the other
fine
guild?
With that.
What about the other guild game? What is it? Tank versus Ants?
I think it's insects versus tanks versus bugs or something like that.
Bugs versus tanks. Is that out yet? No. Right?
They're all out by now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did that turn out alright? I don't know.
Well, you see, this is kind of... Well, I mean, it's half and half. I was going to say, part of the thing is, like, Nintendo does a decent job of kind of, like, okay, they announced all of these games were coming on the eShop, I think, back in May. And then it's kind of, like, a crapshoot to kind of get any follow-up, because usually you don't find out until, at least with us, we don't find out until the morning of, because that's when they send out the press release. I mean, some people will tweet, like, this game comes out this and then, but a lot of these games just kind of find out when they hit the store.
Mm. Okay, I'm just checking the reviews of that game. Apparently that did not turn out well.
No, it doesn't, like, I get
based. I was only interested in because it is an Inafune game, so that's the only reason I was kind of interested in it. But
it's kind of interesting because I'm curious. Like, I don't think I have as a retail bundle this would have worked for $40. But if you had kind of bundled all of these games together and sold it for like 20, I think that
would probably be alright.
Yeah, because I think like Bugs versus Tank probably wouldn't be something I touched on my own. But if I had like Attack of the Friday Monsters and it had Starship Demery and stuff like that, I would probably be more keen to check it out as a full package. It's kind of like what they do with the what do you call it? The eShop games. Not the eShop games, the Street Plaza stuff, where it's like, yep, you can buy each of them for $5, but if you want to try all of them, we'll give it to you $15. This way you're like, okay, you know what, I'm interested in two, I might as well spend the extra $5 and get all four of them.
Yeah, that's true. That would probably be a way better deal. It also looks like the first guild compilation was kind of better, I would say.
Well, I think the first one wasn't, because the first one wasn't made with the intent of being these micro standalone games.
Yeah, I know, but overall, I think the games were better than the other titles. At least that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's like those were kind of made with the idea of we're making a good game and whatnot. This is kind of made, okay, these are going to be standalone mini projects, and, you know, it's hit or miss. It seems to be fit. I think this one, I mean, the first one also has some stinkers. I haven't heard much about Aeropain.
Aeropain was the one.
I think that's when you start Yuggage.
It's alright.
That's not an airplane, though. That's like a airplane worker. They should have called it airplane worker. False advertising, bitch.
Anyway, I think that was alright. And the RPG, I forgot the name. I played that a lot. That was really good.
There was a couple. Is that Liberation Maiden?
Was also pretty good.
Arrow Porter, Crimson Shroud.
Crimson Shroud was the one I played a lot of, and that was great.
So, I mean, yeah. And that one, I mean, yeah, the first one also seems to have a lot more kooky ideas. I think one is Crimson Shroud or Liberation Maiden, the one where, like, you're the president of Japan who turns into a giant mecha?
No, that's not Crimson Liberation. Shroud. That's Liberation that's Maiden, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I think, you know, it's a great idea. It's a fun, mouthful, you know, setup. It's kind of a way to kind of brand indie games, I guess, to kind of, because, yeah, you know, they are all kind of sold as a package to you. Nintendo advertises them as a part of a series, and I would be interested to see them kind of take that approach in the West as well.
Yeah.
And kind of work with smaller Western developers to kind of have them, you know.
On the other hand, smaller Western devs are already releasing games that are small and don't cost much, and even on the 3DS.
Oh yeah, I
if you think about it, that's what
I guess more what I was saying was they kind of have a Nintendo back it, because a lot of the games kind of on the eShop with no kind of fanfare. These kind of, you know, they have a presence on Nintendo Direct. They get that presence. Because they're bundled, you kind of hear people talk about them in groups. So even if one comes out, the other two are still kind of in the conversation and in the next one. And that, you know, that kind of helps momentum, especially if the first one's really good.
And
let's be fair, not just Nintendo. I think this could work for any of the big three if you kind of look at games as a package deal and say, like, you know, it's kind of like you sell Castle Crashers and whatever the Castle Crashers people make next, you sell that as from the people who made this game because it's in your head that way. Or Summer of Arcade does this essentially. It's like, oh, buy these games. Buy all these games and we'll give you money back or we'll give you a free game or something like that.
For Sony, the only thing I can think of is, it's not exactly from Sony, the Sports Friends thing. If you know that, Sports Friends, have you heard about it?
No. That sounds like a Nintendo game.
No, it's the, they went to Kickstarter to finance, them into releasing the game onto, the PS3. That's the, I think it's a 4-game compilation of indie sport games. What are they called? It's like Hokum, I think. One of them is Johann Sebastian's Joust.
Yeah, I do remember hearing about this now that you mention it.
Yeah. They're like 4 games from indie devs. And those will be or are already released. I'm not quite sure yet. No. That's the only thing I can think of. That's also a great idea, because, like you said, on their own, I don't think those games would hold up for, like, I don't know, $10 or something like that, but in a compilation for $10, $15, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, because, and, you know, this is kind of one of the things people talk about with the, I mean, you know, everybody talks about mobile being in the future, but one of the big problems with that is always kind of getting your name out there is kind of rising above the crap. So if you kind of have it together, you're associated with another product. If it does well, you can kind of ride off that momentum. So we'll see. Okay, I've also been playing Mario & Luigi Dream Team, which I just got yesterday, because it took us a month to get it after you folks. Not bitter about that at all.
No, not at all.
Not at all. It's Mario & Luigi. If you've played any of the previous three games in the series, you pretty much know what you're getting. If you've played Bowser's Inside Story, which is the most recent one, you pretty much replace the Bowser segments with the Luigi Dream sequences. You control one character. You have slightly some of your moves. You're a bit more powerful. But other than that, it's the same. And I don't want to make it sound dismissive. Bowser's Inside Story is my absolute favorite game on the DS. And, you know, more of the same is always great. It's a fun, charming little story. A bit heavy on the fail jokes, but what can you do?
Yeah, that's the only thing I kind of enjoyed about those games was the funny writing. For the games themselves, I kind of never cared that much for them. I think I played them for, like, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours, and then all of them, I think I played three. Yeah, and then kind of just stopped, because I just thought, they are kind of simple RPGs, and I've kind of gotten out of them what I was going to get out of them.
That's always why I've been a fan of the franchises, because I do like the kind of, I always call this in the Paper Mario series, like, my first RPG. It's like they're a great way to kind of introduce you to the core mechanics of an RPG. They're not too in depth, but they have enough depth to them that they tend to hold the game well. I do think if they become too complex, this is my problem with Partners in Time. It does kind of hurt it when you had Partners in Time. You had 4 different characters on 4 different case buttons, and that just kind of got annoying fast.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, they are really simple. I would probably say they are simpler than the Pokemon series.
Well, yeah, Pokemon. I mean, this is why it works for Nintendo. Is that Pokemon is a very simple game. I mean, you can pretty much get through Pokemon just knowing the elemental chain. However that works at this point, there's, 15 or 16 types now?
I mean, the elemental chain probably makes it more complex than the Mario game.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, unless you really, really are a bad Pokemon trainer, you don't even necessarily need to match the types. You just need to have a stronger team, because most of the trainers outside of the gyms are really stupid.
That's probably true.
But yeah, I guess I just enjoy them because, and I think this is also why I like Bowser's Night Story, is it does end up mixing it up with Bowser, who does control some of the Mario and Luigi, but because of, you know, you get this kind of third character who controls different, who has different attacks, who has different powers and stuff like that. They do end up spicing up the game a lot, but as Icky said, at the core, it's a very simple RPG. There's not a lot of hidden depth to it. There's not a lot of hidden moves and stats that you need to crunch, which works for me, which also I think works remarkably well on a handheld. I don't necessarily know if I would want this style on a console, because it's a very kind of pick-up-and-play type deal, and I think consoles, you want something meatier.
Mm. Yeah,
but yeah, like I said, I'm having a ton of fun with it. I've put in way too many hours in like a day. not even a day, I guess like 12 hours now. Not 12 hours into the game, but yeah. Okay, so what have you been playing, Martin?
What I played is a game that came out on Thursday, and that's Papers, Please. I mean, the game has been out, I mean, you could have played a beta version of it, which has, like, I think the first 8 days, and now the full game is out for $10, and it, you basically, play someone who is at the booth, at the border of a fictitious, Eastern socialist country in 1982, and all you do is check people's passports and see if everything is correct, and then decide if they can come in.
And when he says check to make sure everything is correct, he means fucking everything.
Yeah, it kind of sounds boring.
Yes,
but
yes, it does.
But in a way. But once you play it, it's really interesting because it turns into a puzzle game that's on a timer, because you, of course, you only have a work day, and in this work day you have to get as many people, I mean you have to at least decide how many people get in or not, as possible. Because the money you earn is based on how many people you handle in a day. And the money is important because at the end of the day, you use the money to pay your rent, pay for food for your family, have heat in your house, maybe pay for medicine if one of your family members gets sick, because you kind of don't want them to die.
And they will if you don't.
I'm waiting for the part where you try to tell me this is fun, because right now this sounds like real life.
Because it's really fast paced.
It's really fast paced. Basically, someone comes to your booth, throws them the passport. In the beginning, it's just the passport and an entry permit, basically. And then you have to check, does the passport number check up? Is the name correctly? Is the picture the right one, people who the person is in front of you? And then you basically have to check for discrepancies. And based on that, you then can deny entry or let them in. And that's something you have to be make on very fast decisions you have to make. And it only ramps up from day to day. Then at some point, they tell you that people from a Pacific district, you need to take their passport in because there have been revolutions in this district. Or you have to check their vaccinations because there has been outbreak of some disease. And the game combines this with the story of this fictitious, somewhat fascist country.
It's trying really hard not to be Russia, but come on.
Yeah, it's Russia.
So what happens if you get the wrong people in?
Then at first you get 2 warnings, and then you lose money if you make too many errors. And it also can be the case that you let in terrorists, then terrorist attacks actually happen. In my playthrough, the game has like 20 different endings that can happen, which is kind of cool. What happens for me is that at some point, some kind of revolutionary army showed up and they said, yeah, we want to overthrow the government, you can help us, let this guy in, don't let this guy in, and then you have to decide, do you want to help them? But that would actually mean that you would, and at some point, would have to be bad at your job and actually make mistakes purposefully, which would cost you money and then would be bad for your family. So it combines this puzzle game with these interesting story decisions. And of course, there are, as I said, there can be random events like terrorist attacks. I had like suicide bombers show up. And then the day ends early, and new security restrictions happen on the next day, which, of course, then affect how the gameplay works, because you then have to check for new things or make different decisions. At some point, they even gave me a gun, just in case someone tries to jump the border, then I have to shoot him. Which, yeah, it's really interesting game, and especially how it combines the kind of simplistic gameplay, but because it's on the timer and you have to check so many different stuff, it keeps being interesting with interesting gameplay decisions, and especially because it also confronts you with just moral decisions. I mean, very early on, I think on the second day, that's something that happens for everyone, so it's not really a spoiler or anything, a guy shows up. He has all the right paperwork, you let him through and says, oh, thank you, right after me comes my wife, please let her also through. And then his wife comes, and she doesn't have all the right paperwork. What do you do? She wants to immigrate with...
She doesn't have it, she doesn't get in. I got a family to feed.
That is the law.
Yeah, it was my decision, I had a family to feed, my son was sick, I needed the money. So, fuck her.
Yep.
She didn't come in.
No papers, no entrance.
I feel like this is a game made by the TSA to kind of make people feel sympathy for him.
I mean, dude, the TSA thing, I mean, there are influences from real-life events in there. I mean, if you... The game actually has a thing that at some point you also get the weight of a person on one of the entry permits. And you have... and then when someone shows up in front of you, you see the weight of them, and there's a difference. If there's a difference between what's on the paper and on what's actually happening right now, then you can check them. And then basically there is like an x-ray thing, and then you see the naked person from front and back, and you can check if anything is wrong, if they maybe have a weapon or anything. And then if that's the case, you say, well, you have contraband on you. Then you send in the guards, and they are being held captive. I don't know what happens to them. I just send the guards. And I get a bonus. So, yeah, it's a really interesting game. I can only recommend checking it out. If you're not sure, I think you can still download the beta version of Papers, Please, which has the first 8 days. And if you enjoy it, I can only say just buy it.
Okay. Which leaves us with my final game, and also partially to go into news. The Wonderful 101 got a demo this week, right after the Nintendo Direct on Friday, so that went, I guess, 2 days ago. And it's a game. I don't know if you've seen it in motion, you probably have no idea what's going on. And once you first play the demo, you have no idea what's going on. And by the end of the demo, you might not have an idea of what's going on, but you have a ton of fun not knowing what's going on. It's a very simple-looking game with a very complex battle system, and I'm pretty sure that's not going to come to surprise to anybody who's played a Platinum game before.
Not really.
No, not at all. It's
that's kind of what they do.
Yeah, it is. But I think a lot of people were just kind of looking at this game and thinking it was going to be a simple... Because, I mean, you know, the comparisons to Pikmin, the comparisons...
Yeah.
It
looks very cute.
It looks very cute. I mean, it has a very Saturday morning-esque feel and look to it. It's a It's Power Rangers, the video game. It's any team-based anime in the last, I don't know, 30-some-odd years. You kind of know all the beats by now. But it's the first time you actually get to play it. And it is extremely chaotic. It is extremely messy. But there is a genius behind it once you kind of get used to it. And I'm not going to say I was an expert by the end of the demo, but I was getting the hang of it. I think one of the more intriguing things, especially, I think this was already known during the Nintendo Direct and then during the demo, is the way combos work in this game is that, well, the big thing of this game is what they call the Unite Morphs, where you can change into a giant fist, you can change into a sword, you can change into a gun, you can change into a whip or a hammer and stuff like that. And going before the Nintendo Direct, I thought that was it, but what happens is that you can do up to 5 of them at a time. So how you set up combos is that you tend to have a main weapon, and then you can have your kind of the rest of your team do mini ones, and they can, you know, like you can have a combo where you turn into a sword and you cut this, you juggle the person in the air, and then you do little guns on that ground, and then the people on the ground will start shooting the person while they're in the air and stuff like that. And it's a very complex game in that sense. I think what hurts and helps it in this regard, though, is the controls. I mean, part of it is that you can choose to use the touchscreen to draw the objects. Like, you draw a straight line for a sword, you draw a circle for the fish, you draw a right angle for the gun, you draw a squiggly line for the whip, you draw a... What else is there? You draw a sickle for the hammer. And I'm like, I'm missing one right now, but yeah. So basically, like, that's fine if it's your main attack, because especially being in the course of the game, like the most recent attack you use or whoever's your Night Eater, if you press A, it would automatically just trigger the ass when you did. It would be a tiny one. Like, that's the other. Okay, let's go. Let me not jump ahead. So what happens is, like, trying to draw stuff, like, drawing the first one's not difficult. Again, does slow down a bit for you to do it, and you can, you know, you can vary the size. The bigger it is, the more powerful it is, but you end up using more of your teammates. So if you want to do multiple Unite Morphs, you probably don't want one that's an entire team then. But if you want a super-powered sword, you can just kind of use all 100 people in your team, or however many you get to recruit them as the game goes on. What kind of gets chaotic, though, is once you start drawing that, is that then trying to draw the other ones while you're still kind of playing the game and doing your combos and stuff like that, because you do have to take your hands off the action buttons to draw on the touchscreen. You can also use the right analog stick, which I find works better for certain ones. Like, drawing a sword, you know, holding the analog stick straight up is easy. Circle's not so bad, but when you start doing stuff like a squiggly line, or when you start doing like the sickle, I find that much harder to do on an analog stick and much better to do on the touchscreen. So yeah, that's part of it. The other part of it, I guess, is that it also uses the gamepad to kind of as a second screen experience at times. So there'll be certain segments of the game where your characters will be on the main screen, but they'll go into a sub area, and that's on the gamepad. And, you know, that is what it is. But what I find interesting is they found a workaround for it when it has off TV play, so you can use the gamepad while doing this. And what they basically do is just have picture in picture on the gamepad, which I think is a very novel idea, because it does give you that benefit that a lot of Zombie U doesn't have off TV play, for the reason that it uses the gamepad so much. But if you find a way to kind of get that stuff on there while you're playing the game, I think it could work out well. I honestly don't know what else to say. I will say this much, and I think this is the sign of a great demo to me, is I finished the demo, I finished the mission mode. There's a lot of stuff in this demo, and I felt like I wanted more.
That's usually a good sign.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I think to me that more than, you know, any impressions I can give, more than anything else, is I finished this demo after about an hour, and I'm like, I want more of this game. That's kind of the impression you want them to leave on you. And I'm happy to. I've said this before. It's been my most anticipated Wii U game since it was revealed at E3 last year. And I'm happy to see that my faith in it was justified, and not just because I love the Saturday morning aesthetics and, you know, over the top cheesiness of it.
It sounds pretty badass. And this is actually the first time I've said that phrase about a Wii U game, so it's got to be doing something right.
Well, it seems to be a lot of people's reactions to this game. It seems like, you know, like, granted, I don't want to get into sales talk, but this game's not going to do well at all. it's on a very weak, not a weak system, but it's on a very troubled system right now. It's a very, it has an aesthetic appeal that will turn off a lot of people just because it does look kind of kiddie, cartoony, whatever you want to call it. And it's not the most easy game to get into if you actually play it. Like, it demos well enough, but there were a lot of people who were turned off because they had no idea what they were doing or what. Because it's kind of weird. A lot of people were complaining about the fact that this game doesn't hold your hands during the tutorial, like during the demo. Like, it's not.
Great.
It's not a,
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's to some people, but if you don't know what you're doing, a lot of people are like, I don't know what's going on in this game. They kind of do tutorials. And it does give you tutorials. Like everything you learn is on the Game Pass. So you can kind of go back through there and look at all this stuff. Because, yeah, like, there's also, you know, like, there's a dodge move. There's a, what do you call the opposite of a dodge? A counter, a shield, I guess?
That's not really the opposite of a dodge, but okay, sure.
Well, I'm trying to, because, I mean, you can dodge out of an attack, or you can protect against it. That's what I'm trying, that's how video games usually treat it. It's like, usually you can parry, and this one, you turn into a giant thing of put-in.
And, of course. Obviously. Why not?
Well, you turn into put-in as a, you turn into put-in to, as a shield, and you turn into a centipede as a dodge. So that makes perfect sense. But yeah, there's a lot of, there's a lot of things going on. It's very, it's a very complex game. It's a very simple, like, I think you can kind of get away with kind of button mashing for the most part. And I think you will succeed on, like, easy. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen on normal or, you know, whatever difficulties they have. But it is a fun game. I do recommend checking out the demo if you have a Wii U. If you don't, I recommend checking out the 7-minute trailer they put up this week. It is full of spoilers, but it is extremely awesome. It's also full of a ton of gameplay, which, you know, I've always complained about when trailers don't share that as well.
Yeah, that seems like the type of game you don't necessarily play for the depth of story anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's going to have a, I'm sure it's going to be told well. It's going to be told in a very, very kind of, I guess, cheap manner, but...
Oh, it'll be ridiculous, like all Platinum games are. And I mean that in the most glowing way possible.
Yeah. But just don't go in expecting, like, Shakespeare. Which I guess technically it could be Shakespeare, because Shakespeare wasn't that great.
You know, if someone was to release a game today with that art style, with Shakespearean language, that would be ridiculous and awesome. And sounds like something Platinum would honestly do, actually.
Yes, so, I mean, it looks like I said, Nintendo seems to be kicking it in gear with this. They did the Nintendo Direct. And in case you haven't seen the Nintendo Direct, you should, because it mocks the Nintendo Direct format. They mentioned the release date like 20 times throughout the entire ordeal, which is really just insane. And then they're also putting up the Iwata ask for the game this weekend. So, it's a lot of information, a lot of background into Kami as a developer and stuff like that. And check out the trailer. So yeah, that will bring us into news. Like I said, we already mentioned the Nintendo Direct. But what else do we have this week?
There's Pokemon Digivolutions now.
Yes, Pokemon Digivolutions.
I actually want to talk about Nintendo Direct right now. Because I have to say, I watched it, and to me it was like, okay, a bunch of nothing, and then it's like, all right, Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright is coming out. Yay!
So it's just like
it
Nintendo's release.
The only exciting thing for me, actually.
Well, I mean, going into this one, they were very clear on what this one was for. This was just an update on their recent games and upcoming games. Like, I was a little disappointed. I thought it'd go a bit further than, I think the latest game in there was probably mid-October, and that was Wind Waker, which doesn't have a date.
Yeah, and you know what's really disappointing? What's with Mario Golf? What's up with that?
Is that a thing that's happening?
Yeah, that was supposed to come out this summer. It got pushed
back
to next year.
Oh, that makes me happy. I used to love Mario Golf. I'm still not going to buy
that
a Wii U for it, but
really
like...
Cool.
Oh, it's a 3DS.
I was really excited for it, but then nothing.
Yeah, it's next year.
Yeah, why is it next year?
I assume they probably looked at the reschedule for the 3DS and realized they probably didn't need it this year. I mean, they still have Pokemon, they still have Zelda coming out. They have Ace Attorney's Yeah, there's a lot of...
I haven't been paying a ton of attention to Nintendo's release schedule lately, but don't they need all the releases they can get right now? Isn't that kind of where we're at with them?
Not necessarily for the 3DS. I mean, the 3DS seems to be doing well, especially off the back of Animal Crossing June now, and Mario and Luigi this week. And then, Pokemon's in 2 months. And they have a decent amount of third-party games within that as well. I think the 3DS is well throughout the rest of the year. Like, granted, you always want as many games as you possibly can get, but I think they probably looked at their priorities and realized that the Wii U is probably suffering. It's probably wise to get all the games out that they can now for the Wii U. And instead of, like, maybe pushing back a 3DS game they had for early next year into the fall, so that this way they can focus more on finishing up certain Wii U games for either the end of this year or start of next year.
What are 3DS is selling for these days, anyway?
The 3DS, I think, itself sells for $130, and the XL sells for $200.
That's actually not bad. Fuck, I want to play Pokemon, but I don't want to buy a Nintendo console, so this is difficult for me.
Well, I mean,
I want to play Fire Emblem, too.
Fire Emblem is excellent.
I know.
Yeah, here's what I will say. We said this on the show before. Nintendo, who runs the handheld division, great video game company. Nintendo that runs the console business, it depends.
That's true. Their 3DS output is just amazing. I mean, not only the Nintendo games. I mean, third-party stuff, of course, the West is kind of ignoring the 3DS, but there's a lot of great third-party stuff also coming out of Japan. I mean, the 3DS has... I mean, this year alone looks great.
Yeah, and I mean, also, I don't know... I mean, you're a fan. I assume you're a fan. You're a fan of Persona, so I assume you might be a fan of Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah.
Shin Megami Tensei 4 looks amazing.
Well, for us, because he's North American as well, is that if you buy it by the 31st, if you register Shin Megami Tensei and buy Emblem... No, but you know, you don't get it free. You get $30, and you can use that $30 to buy Pokemon. So you basically buy, you know, you get your three games for about the price of two.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And it's a great marketing, because I picked up Shin Megami Tensei 4, and I, you know, wouldn't have picked that up in any other way.
It's a good series. I mean, you will probably have a lot of fun with this game, Mike. And
it is. I was saying that, I think I mentioned on the last podcast, I've been having a ton of fun with it. I kind of put it on the back burner.
I mean, one of the biggest things is, I mean, it's kind of like experimenting with the stats and the abilities of different monsters and combining them is just really fun, I think. It's just one of the best things about this series.
Yeah. It's definitely one of my favorite franchises of all time.
Yeah, but like I said, I think, again, Nintendo, who does the handheld stuff, I mean, this marketing thing, again, you get to check out Shin Megami Tensei, you get to check out Fire Emblem. Two games that probably wouldn't have gotten that much recognition on their own, but this way you kind of have that built in.
Oh, and then, or the other thing they're doing right now, with, I don't know if it's in the US, but in Europe they're doing something with Animal Crossing. That if you buy Animal Crossing right now and... someone else buys a 3DS XL until, I don't know, end of September, I think. Then basically you register your Animal Crossing, you get a code that you give someone who bought XL until the end of September, and then that someone can get Animal Crossing for free.
Yeah, and they did that recently with the Monster Hunter Europe as well, and they had the Too Many Games promotion as well. So, again, Nintendo on the 3DS side, fantastic company. Nintendo on the Wii U side, is not. I don't know if it's two different people running those divisions or what, but yeah. And, I mean, even right now, like Martin said with the 3DS, with the Nintendo Direct, next year it's already looking pretty good. You have Mario Golf.
Yeah.
I assume you have Yoshi's Island 2. You have Professor Layton. You have Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. And I think this is, I don't know if this is this year or next year, they also announced, I don't know, even know how to pronounce this, Shingara Kuga Burst?
That doesn't say anything to me.
It's a game with big-breasted women, that's all I know.
Okay.
What's it called?
I don't know how to pronounce it, I'm not going to try again.
What did you say the first time?
Shingara Kuga Burst.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. I mean, what?
Yeah. So yeah, you
know what
so
you're talking about.
Oh yeah, you also have Bravely Default coming out next year. I imagine that we'll probably hear about Monster Hunter 4 for next year.
Hopefully.
So the 3DS for next year is already looking better than the Wii U. And they haven't announced anything major yet, so
yeah.
There's that. I think that the major difference between the 3DS and the Wii U is that it has Japanese support. The Wii U doesn't have Western or Japanese support right now.
It doesn't have support.
Yeah.
Period.
I was just saying in contrast, because like you mentioned, the 3DS doesn't have any Western support, right? Because, I mean, if you think about it, this is going to be the 3DS's third holiday season, and I guess my memory is completely off. The 3DS does not have a first-person shooter yet, of any caliber.
Wait, let me think. Didn't they do some shitty Call of Duty version for it?
No.
Right,
really?
That was one on the Vita. Not on the 3DS.
Oh yeah, that was. That was bad. Oh man. I forgot about that.
Oh, you're right, I can't think of anything.
No, there's no first-person shooter. And if you think about the fact that that's the biggest genre in gaming right now, and that system has none. Not even like an indie first-person shooter. That's kind of like the support it's getting in the West.
That's amazing. I mean, even VDS got like, I mean, these pretty shitty Call of Duty games.
Yeah. All made by the same company, Endspace.
I mean, they're not really shitty. I guess mediocre is probably fairer to say.
Well, I mean, you have first-person shooters, but no Antioch 6
yeah.
at all, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, none whatsoever. I don't know. I don't think they've had any sports games this year. I don't know if they had any sports games last year, outside of Mario Tennis.
And next year then apparently Mario Golf.
Yeah, so there's a lot of genres it's missing out on, but it doesn't affect it because it's good at what it does. I mean, granted, it's still not, you know, it's still not shedding the world on fire with the DS, but it's selling well enough where it's not being a drain on them anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to think of the Nintendo Direct, and I'm trying to think what they had for the Wii U. They had Pikmin 3, which was already out.
Yeah.
They had the Animal Crossing Miiverse, which is a novel idea. Wrong system.
True.
I mean, it
looks neat, but it's nothing like spectacular. I'm not jumping out of my chair. Yeah, exactly what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, and I know Animal Crossing is a big brand, but I don't necessarily see people who are Animal Crossing fans picking up a Wii just to have like this Miiverse hub.
Yeah, I'm thinking they probably just want to spend more time in Animal Crossing, and that's
yeah.
what they will continue to do on their 3DS.
Yeah. And I know Miiverse is coming to the States, and I assume this stuff will be all integrated into the packet. But that's all, like, not here now. And this is they had Wind Waker.
All right. I always forget Wind Waker because it's just a remake.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty... Granted, it was already a pretty game, so,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just being shallow at that point. And they're adding, you know... They're not adding anything. They're fixing the tripod. A lot of people seem to mention the fact that it's going to be on the... Like, you'll find it first time without anything. But yes, just pause.
Now, back to the show.
Okay. and we're back. Due to some technical difficulties, Chad has to step out. Hopefully he gets a Merkin equipment next week or whenever he's returned. So yeah, we went through the Nintendo Direct. There's some Microsoft news this week as well, but we're just going to skip ahead because there's only one thing for Sony this week as far as I know, and that was the announcement and release of PlayStation All-Star Island, sponsored by Coca-Cola Zero.
I love Coke Zero!
Do you? Do you really?
Yeah, I actually really like Coke Zero.
Yes, Coke Zero. Well, then you'll be a fan of PlayStation All-Stars Island because you cannot miss the sponsorship.
I have no idea. I have no interest in checking it out.
I have interest in checking it out because I honestly, I have no problem checking out any games, and this is free, so that's not a deal breaker. But it's not, it's incompatible with all of my Android devices, 5 of them. And this is one of the things I'm not a huge fan of when it comes to Android is the fact that so many things are like, it works with this, it doesn't work with that, you need this. It's just really a headache. So yeah, it doesn't work with any of my devices, so I haven't had a chance to check it out. But I did see the trailer, and it's basically, it looks like several NGS runners and an NGS platformer.
I think I heard it's kind of like Temple Run.
Yeah, the Uncharted one's like Temple Run.
Oh, okay.
The Gravity Rush one is like Temple Run with gravity, so you, instead of moving left and right, you can jump off the walls. There is a Ratchet & Clank one, which is an NGS runner platformer, where, you know, I don't know if you've ever played, well, if you've ever played any platform on the mobile device where you just kind of run and just kind of flick up and down to kind of get past obstacles.
Like Cannibald.
Sure. I was trying to think of that I'd say. It's something Knight, but it's all Knight on...
of a Rayman,
yeah.
One?
No, it's... Well, Rayman Jungle Run's another one. I think Sonic Run is also one. I forget what the Sonic one is called, but if you end this run of platformers are kind of, I don't even want to say a dime a dozen kind of bunch of them you can get for free.
Yeah, a lot of them.
There are, oh, Gravity Guy, there we go, that was the name of it. So yeah, I mean, if you're into, Wind Up Night was another one as well.
Yeah, it's free, right, the PlayStation 1?
Yeah, it's free. And... I don't hate it. I have no reason to hate it. It's a video game, but it's kind of curious because you have kind of two camps. You have the camps like Sony's so stupid, and then you have the camps like Sony's a genius for this. And I'm kind of in the middle. I'm like, it's a novel idea, you know, like it's free marketing. You kind of get those brands out there. But what I'm trying to think of is why use the PlayStation All-Stars brand? It's not a viable brand after PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. And I think this does more to hurt that brand than anything.
And the other thing seems cheap.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is that it's a great marketing tool if you have something to market.
Yep.
There is no Uncharted game this year. There is no Little Big Planet game this year. There is no. Well, I guess Little Big Planet. No, is there a Little Big Planet game this year?
No.
And there's no. I guess there's Infamous, but Infamous is out next year, and it doesn't have Cole in it. And then there is a Ratchet & Clank game this year, which I completely forgot about, which is how much they're doing a great job with that. So yeah, it's a very odd marketing tool. So I don't know if this is supposed to if this is supposed to be a marketing tool for Sony, if this is supposed to be a marketing tool for Coke Zero, but it doesn't seem to be appealing on either side for that. So yeah, if you have an Apple device or if you have an Android device that functions, check it out. I'd love to hear thoughts on it, honestly. So yeah, that's PlayStation, which gives us with Microsoft. The first thing that came out this week is that the Xbox One will feature a headset in the box.
Amazing.
I can hear.
The amount of backpedaling that Microsoft has done it just doesn't stop at this point, right?
No, and it's kind of interesting because it puts them in a precarious position, especially with the next, with the next thing, where it's like if the fans don't like something, they're under the impression now that, well, just complaining about it, Microsoft will change it. And that's not a bad thing. The problem is then you take away any power you have as a console maker, because it came out this week as well that the Xbox One streaming service will be behind a paywall.
Yeah. You mean the service where you can stream your own game?
I mean the service, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the service in which you can record your game is also behind a paywall.
Wow. That's
something. Yeah, I can kind of understand streaming. It's the same mentality behind online gaming, using up bandwidth and stuff like that they do have to pay
for. Well, you're using Twitch.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but I can kind of get it.
It's like just as shitty as putting Netflix or something behind this paywall.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's dumb. But yeah, the whole notion of, like, especially, I'm just thinking, like, single-player games, like, this is kind of going back to, like, that always online stuff. It's, like, basically saying that you have to be signed into Xbox Live to record any footage you want.
Yeah.
And you have to pay for it. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm sure in their head they're probably thinking, oh, we're doing this so that we can, you know, it
basically justify gold.
Yeah.
Because at this point, it doesn't look like they will have a service like PlayStation Plus in place. I mean, where you get free games. I mean, they're doing a couple of things right now with the 360, but it's not really consistent, I think. And so far, they have said nothing about the Xbox One.
Yeah, and I mean, even at E3, I think they made it pretty clear that they said this promotion would run through the launch of Xbox One. So it seems like a way to keep people saying their Xbox
until the
Xbox One comes out.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, Sony is now also looking at multiplayer gaming behind PlayStation Plus, but PlayStation Plus still has this value of, hey, you're also still getting free games, and they already announced like four free games.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, I have my own issues with that because it does kind of put you in this environment where you don't want to buy games, but that's neither here nor there.
Apparently it works out for them.
I'm sure they have the numbers that makes it make sense. I would note that Sony has lost a lot of money this past quarter. The gaming division, but part of that was the PlayStation 4, you know, research and development and stuff like that. What has become tradition now is, like, Microsoft says something, so Sony pretty much pounces on it, and Sony announced the next day that PlayStation 4 streaming and recording footage will not be behind a paywall.
Amazing. I mean, even if it's, if you, like I said, streaming, I can maybe understand putting that behind paywall, but like offline recording on my own console for myself, it does make sense that it's not behind paywall. It's my system. The internet is not needed for that.
that's the thing. It's like you don't have to be connected. Like, why do you need gold for that? It should be system level. Does that mean people who aren't online can't record stuff?
Yeah, it's kind of shitty. It really is. Or do they think, I don't know, that why should they ever want to record something if they cannot put it on the internet?
which is why I'm okay, you know, granted, it's a very minor distinction, but which is why I'm okay with saying, like, okay, streaming will be behind a paywall, but recording shouldn't be.
Yeah. I don't know.
And it's a very thin distinction, but it is one.
Yeah, at least it makes somewhat sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad. Also, I want to say about the headset thing. It's not bad that Microsoft is backpedaling on a lot of that stuff, because a lot of those stuff were boneheaded decisions. But, I mean, that they have to do this backpedaling in the first place is just ridiculous. I mean, some decision just shouldn't have been made with people with common sense in place. That's just what I think. I mean, even putting a headset in, which worked out great for the previous console, and now we have to buy one. What?
Or they're offering an adapter for your old. Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff that's going on with the system. I mean, it's nice that they seem to be getting everything on the in control by November, but it does make the company seem really odd when, like, your vision is basically, like, we can change our vision, we'll bend to meet your needs, and, like, a lot of this stuff that should have been basic is the stuff that you need to backpedal on and kind of make a big deal out of. Like, this came out this week as well, and I don't really get it. Like, I don't know why it's a big deal, but apparently now you can share your Xbox Live Gold with everybody on the system. I forgot that wasn't a thing. I forgot you had to pay per account if you wanted it to have Xbox Live Gold access.
Yeah, it was the case, but now it's apparently no longer.
Because my friends, like, I have married friends, and they would all, like, we would play Bomberman, and they would all need to have an Xbox Live account for them, because you can't be a guest if you want to do it or not, and you can't sign into your own account, so but this shouldn't be a thing. Sony's done it, I think.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we can't really say
for Sony on PS3, even, it's like, also DLC and stuff, it's all like, if the account which has paid for it is on the system, everyone else can use it as well. It doesn't matter if it is a game or DLC or whatever.
Yeah. So.
Which I think is totally the right decision. I mean, that's what should be the case. I mean, from a logic standpoint, I mean, a lot of people, maybe they have kids, maybe they're a couple and they both play at home, maybe it's a family, whatever. I mean, no one wants to pay for a service like Gold or PlayStation Plus for multiple people who live in one house. Or one home. Let's say one home. I mean...
Yeah, but that's the thing. You still have to pay for it if it's not on the system. As far as I know. It's not like you share it across the house.
Long as it's on the same machine. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I can understand if it's on multiple systems in one home. But even then, on PS3, it would work, because you can share with three systems.
Yeah, I also believe that you can kind of, I mean, this doesn't really work as well, but I believe you can, if you sign into your account, and you have Gold and your friend doesn't, like, he will have access to Gold while your account is on that system active.
Okay.
So basically, if you go over to somebody's house to play video games online, which I think is really odd when I say it like that.
Yeah.
That happens too. And I guess this is coming in as well. We also have something else to talk about. But this has come in twice now. It came in, it was said to be fake, and now it's coming back in again that it's real. But Roller Coaster Tycoon 4 has been announced.
Yay!
Seriously?
Yay! Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2. I didn't really play the third one, which wasn't 3D. But the first two were really good games. I mean, fun managing sims with managing an amusement park and building crazy roller coasters. It's a really fun series. And, I mean, we didn't really know what would happen to Roller Coaster Tycoon because Atari went bankrupt and they were trying to sell off their IPs. And I think they wanted to sell the Roller Coaster Tycoon IP for $3.6 million, if I'm not mistaken. Do you remember?
I have no idea.
I think we wanted to sell it for $3.6 million during the auction or whatever it was, and no one picked it up. And apparently now someone did later on. And they even have Chris Sawyer back on, who worked on the previous games.
I have no idea who this company is. It's like Red Coin or something.
I don't know them either. But them having Chris Sawyer on is good news.
Yeah. And they've been working with, so apparently this has been in development for a while.
Yeah.
The reason it was debunked was there was a trailer from, like, 2009 that had the same exact footage.
It sounds like they were working on a game like Roller Coaster Tycoon, which just didn't have the name attached to it. And now they are basically forming it into Roller Coaster Tycoon 4.
Yes.
Which makes sense. I mean, you don't necessarily need the license to make a game like that, but I guess IP probably sells a couple of copies.
Because, you know, you got excited because you played Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I have other friends who have played Roller Coaster Tycoon. Actually, I think my friend was telling me to pick up 3 this past week. So, and it's out this year, which is really exciting.
Yeah. actually coming out to Wii U.
I was going to say, the systems announced for it are really weird.
Yeah.
It's Windows, it's Mac, it's Xbox One, and it's Wii U.
But, I don't know if you've seen the updates. Someone asked, why not PS4? And they answered, and they said, hardware issues. We are looking into porting to PS4 as we speak. So apparently it will probably also come to PS4.
Yes. But I will say this much, especially if the price is right, I feel like this is either the type of game I'd get on my PC or the Wii U. I think the tablet controller would be ideal for this type of game.
It would probably work well. I mean, you know how these management sims work. Playing with a mouse pointer and building stuff like that, it's way easier. So doing that with a stylus on the pad would probably be ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we'd have to actually see more of it because that's not a trailer of the game.
No.
It's just something from several years ago.
Yeah.
It's just
something they slapped together to have something with the announcement.
Yeah. which they really probably shouldn't have to do if the game's out in 4 months.
Really? I mean, just the announcement would have done, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Just announce it. I'm already happy. Also, they are not. What I also want to say, you think about Wii U or PC, those games were also never the most taxing. So I wouldn't expect them to have like this game to have monstrous hardware requirements either.
Yeah. Which again, you know, it's a very small studio. Like we said, I've never heard of them before.
Yeah.
So I imagine it's not a gay AAA affair. No. But you know, coming out in December, it's usually a pretty calm month. Has a nice variety of consoles, and you know, it does have that name recognition.
And for this kind of game to be fun, you don't need all graphical bells and whistles. It's more of what can you build? How can you build it? What interesting combinations are possible? And that's actually where the fun comes from, because back when World Cross Tycoon 1 and 2 came out, those games were not exactly Lucas back then, but they were still fun.
Yeah, the other thing we wanted to talk about, or the other thing I had in these notes, is I completely skipped over this because I think it's a stupid idea, and I really don't know if the IP has this brand in to go with it, but Dead Island Epidemic was announced this week, and it is what they called a Zomba, which is a zombie MOBA game.
Yeah, I've read the announcement. I don't really know what they're trying to do that's different. I read something about three teams. I mean, if it's three teams, that would be something new, I guess, because normally MOBA is a game of two teams. But otherwise, I really don't know what they're trying to do. Will it be like you play the survivors from that island, those are your heroes, and the zombies will walk from one base to the other? That's the innovation with three teams?
I wonder if the third team will be zombies.
you can hear my excitement.
Yes.
Also, it's of course free to play, which may be good, may be bad. Not everyone is Valve who does it the right way. I don't know what to think about it. We don't even know if it's the same, if it's the guys behind the normal Dead Island games.
Okay. No, we don't. Oh, crap. For some reason, that reminded me. I don't know if you saw it this week, but the Batman Arkham Origins multiplayer beta started, so we had footage of that, and that looks, as expected, it looks really bad.
Really? It does look bad. I'm actually surprised that it does look bad.
I mean, I could be mistaken. It could just be because they were basically people put together the how-to-play videos, and they were just showing you stuff. But if I'm not mistaken, it looks like it's a shooter which doesn't have shooting controls. Like you can't aim the gun; it just kind of fires in the general direction you're facing.
Ew.
Exactly. Again, I could be mistaken. Maybe they just didn't explain it, but it just kind of looks like the guns are like aimed forward. So if you have to change directions, but you can't aim the gun independently, and yeah, it's kind of wave-based, so basically every time you die, your team has a stock of lives, and once that runs out, your team's eliminated, but you also have Batman and Robin as the third team, and how Batman and Robin works is for every takedown and every You know, yeah, every takedown they build an intimidation meter, and I guess once you build your intimidation meter, you win.
It's weird.
It's really weird.
It does sound weird. I should look into that video. Because when they announced it, I think I tweeted to you that what I imagined in my head what it would be like is more like Mercs vs. Spies from a Splinter series, just with basically two Mercs teams which work against each other, while the third team is Batman Robin, who try to stop both of them.
No, it seems like it's three teams. Everybody's kind of working separately. Certain stuff, eventually the teams will unlock Joker and Bane, and Bane has a rocket launcher, and Joker has a... What does Joker have? Joker has dual pistols or something that does extra damage. It seems like your idea sounds cool, where it's kind of you have teams trying to take out Batman and Robin and stuff like that, but this doesn't seem to be that case.
That's disappointing, because I know the team behind it, and they have done great things before in multiplayer, actually interesting stuff. The last game didn't do too well, it was Brink, but before that they did great stuff. So, weird. I didn't actually get into the beta, I applied, I got an email where they told me, hey, do you want to be in the beta, and then a couple of days later I got another email, sorry, you're not in. Which is weird. Normally they don't send you those emails. You just don't get anything.
Yeah. I didn't even know you could sign up. I thought they were just sending it out randomly to people. But yeah, that's the thing. Check it out if you want. Maybe you'll have different impressions than I did. But yeah. And finally, this is not really news, because I don't think any of us are going to buy it.
It's the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, Saints Row 4, the Super Dangerous Wad Wad Edition, will cost $1 million.
It comes with the game?
I don't know if the game's worth $1 million.
It comes with the game? That's. I think it comes with the game, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it comes with the game. It costs...
The Commander-in-Chief Edition.
Oh, wow. They went all out on that one. And what else does it come with? I think it comes with a Lamborghini.
Hold on. It comes with a full-size replica dubstep gun.
Amazing.
A full day of spy training.
Yep.
A trip to space with Virgin Galactic.
Mm-hmm.
1 year membership of E25 Supercar Club and a Lamborghini Gallardo to make it worthwhile. Plastic surgery of the purchaser's choice. A shopping spree with a personal shopper to create the ultimate Planet Sense capsule wardrobe. 7 nights for 2 at the Jefferson Hotel in Washington. Hostage rescue experience. A brand new Toyota Prius and insurance to give something back to the environment.
Of course. I mean, if you're hurting the environment with your Lamborghini, you have to give back something.
A 7-night stay in the top royal suite at the Bash Air Arab with flights for 2.
This is just super dumb. Oh, and it's strongly limited to 1.
Yes,
this
1. I'm really curious to see if this actually sells, because you know there's somebody out there with money.
I'll be honest, if I was a rich fuck and could shit $1 million away, I would probably buy it.
Yeah, you have to have money to burn to buy something
like
this. And I'm sure if you bought it separately, it probably would be less than $1 million.
Probably. They probably worked it out that they actually make money on it. I can't imagine they're losing on that one.
Yeah.
It's super dumb. But at the same time, I think it's kind of awesome for Saints Row, because it just fits. It's just as dumb as the game.
Yeah.
I really have no problem with it. And if someone can actually pay it and wants this, more power to you. No problem. I've been watching this Batman multiplayer thing right now. I mean, the weirdest thing about this trailer is there's way too much text. Sorry.
Well, I think that,
that's not how you do that.
Well, I think
you,
that
you show, don't tell.
Oh, I was about to say, I don't think it's a trailer. I think somebody just put together all the tutorials from the... Oh, wait, no, it's the Batman Arkham book.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
That's pretty bad. You show, you don't tell. I mean, I play very complex multiplayer shooters, and I'm already at what I'm doing? It probably sounds more complicated than it is.
Yeah.
Also, apparently that's just one game mode. There will be more.
This thread is just going in circles. Because now people are bringing back the fake video now saying it's a fake, but that's the thing. I don't know.
Whatever.
If
it ends up being fake, we can always... There is no real multiplayer in this video. I'm searching right now. No, there's absolutely no real multiplayer. I mean, we see multiplayer footage.
But there's not...
But not actually... Unmatched. Gameplay, someone playing it so I can see, wait, how do you aim? What does this vision mode look like from the bad guys?
They show it. It's just kind of like, it's like detective vision, but you, like, you don't, it's not, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
I saw it, I'm like, I'm not missing out on much. I probably won't even try it. But is there anything else you want to talk about before we begin to wrap?
No, I don't think there's anything interesting. Oh, wait, the Corey Barlog thing.
Oh, yes, he's back at Sony Santa Monica?
Yeah. We should probably start with new. You are back, and now start with something new.
Oh, well, I don't want to talk about that, because I hate rumors. But it doesn't seem to be much of a rumor with this Amazon console.
That's true. So we doing Corey Barlog on the Amazon thing?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
So who is Corey Barlog?
He was in charge of God of War 2 and was also producer for a couple of months for the third one. And he then, I think, left to work on the Mad Max game. But that didn't work out for him. And then he left that. I don't know where he ended up then. And now he's back at Santa Monica.
Yeah, so he was also in charge of the Tomb Raider remake that we just got.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he directed the cinematics and now he's back at Sony Santa Monica.
Okay, that was where it went after Mad Max. Then.
Yeah, so... And he's working with a new game for them.
Yeah.
Seems to be a busy... No, because they didn't do God of War Ascension, but they do have the Order coming out, which they're working on with Ready at Dawn.
Right. But it's not that game he is working on.
No.
Something entirely new.
So we'll probably won't see it. Well, I mean, knowing this in the true, see it in December, we won't actually see it until like 2015, 2016.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyhow, I think that's it for this week. Hopefully something comes out. I don't even know when the Amazon console is expected to be announced, because if the system's due out by the end of the year, they should probably get on that soon.
Well, it's if like their Kindle thing, they usually announce it like 1 or 2 months before it's out.
Yeah. I guess I'm used to the video game industry where you announce these things months in advance. Or years in advance.
And then you hype it up, and then you have a bunch of non-news.
I mean, granted, from what I hear, it seems like it's a system that can come in. Like, it's a... Okay, we might as well talk about this. From rumors, it seems to be a mid-range last-gen system.
Yeah, like, but it also sounds like it's just going to play Android games, right?
Well, I don't know, because they seem to be reaching out to... Like, it seems like they said it can run out of modern engines, and it has modern architect, like GPU. It's just that the graphical, based on power and stuff, it seems like it would be a cheap PS3 360. And honestly speaking, if it's cheap enough and, you know, if its power is comparable enough, I could see a lot of third-party developers just kind of porting their old games to it for extra revenue.
Sure, if it's really easy, then yeah, that could probably be the case. And of course, the indies are always looking for new revenue possibilities.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and but like I said, because they seem to be poaching talent from Microsoft. Everybody seems to be on board with that idea. So it seems like they are doing a video game system, but it seems like that's not their only play. It seems like they are going for a kind of all-in-one set-top box, which makes sense because that seems to be everybody's end game at this point. I mean, Microsoft included in this at this point. But, you know, it's Apple's Stream, it's Microsoft Streams, it's now Amazon's Stream. So everybody wants to do it, and it seems to be the game is the Trojan horse.
Apparently. Everyone wants those gamers to get the multimedia stuff into the home.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice idea. It probably works out in the US, I guess.
And
in Europe, in Germany, I can tell you it's not the case, mostly because we don't have those services.
that's the thing. I mean, a lot of these are kind of American built in the idea. Like, you know, I don't know if you folks get like Amazon Video, or Amazon Music, or any of that other stuff, Amazon Instant.
We don't have Amazon Instant Streaming or Video.
So yeah, a lot of this stuff wouldn't be ideal for you then.
No. The only thing we have is the online music library thing. What do we call that? I don't remember.
I don't know.
If you buy MP3s, they are in the cloud.
Yeah,
with
Amazon.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we have. And of course, Kindle. Books. But the other media stuff, not really. So, trying to sell that outside of the US for a lot of countries, hard sell.
That sounds like the Xbox One scenario as well, but
yeah.
We shall see. We shall see.
I know the UK has better selection when it comes to this stuff, but our European countries, not so much.
Yeah. I was reminded of this yesterday because I saw people on Gaff complaining about the fact that Nintendo TV still doesn't do anything in Europe.
Yeah, that's true. It does nothing. It still says, I think, coming soon or something when you press on it.
So, yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Anyhow. That should be it for this week. Hopefully we're back next week with more. I don't even know. Like, the gaming season starts next week, actually.
I can tell our audience that the week after next will be exciting because I will be going to Gamescom and then I will at least have a bunch of stuff to talk about.
Yeah. We'll also have like 50 games coming out. I think Splinter Cell's out that week. I think Wonderful 101's out that week. I believe Disney Infinity's out that week.
So Saints Row's
out that week. So yeah, there's a lot of
think
games.
About something else. Madden is probably coming out, right?
I thought Madden got pushed to September nowadays, but I
Wait,
don't.
What?
Because didn't it come out? Like, it came out September the last 2 years, I thought.
Really? Normally it's like Madden comes out, it means games are back.
Oh yeah, it's August 27th, so it's the last week. But that's 3 weeks from now. Well,
you're right. It's actually after new games come.
Yeah, so I guess it's that thing, right? And then that week is past. So basically in a couple of weeks the gaming industry will kind of get itself back in the groove. We have Gamescom, Microsoft and Sony both have press conferences there. And I assume that means we're going to start the final hype cycle for these systems, which do launch in like 3 months.
I would totally expect that during the press conference at Gamescom, they will announce the date of both consoles, because Microsoft will have a press conference and Phil Spencer will be there, and Sony will also have a press conference. And they already said, like, there will be PS4 news. Also new games.
And did they say anything about the Vita?
It will be there.
That seems to be the Vita-sized story in a nutshell. It's there.
Yeah.
And that's our wiki jab with the Vita. So, for Martin, Chad, who got disconnected, and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 119.